Well, today we are right in the center of the action on the fly. We are at Show Center, basically here in front of the IAC Aerobatic Center, and just opposite of Boeing Plaza on Papa Two Taxiway, underneath this beautiful Canadian firebomber from Viking, the big yellow and red plane. If you're listening and want to come and check it out, head on out here to the flight line where it's on display. It's been on display all week, and it should be here the rest of the weekend as well. So we kind of started the story with Mary talking about dispatch and how that's all organized, and now there's a fire. Dispatch has decided that they want a smoke jumper to go in and check out the situation, and so that's where you guys come into play, and specifically Shane Bach, who flies a C-23 Sherpa, and he flies the airplane, and then we have Patrick Rumportal, who is a smoke jumper that jumps out of that plane. And let's start with the airplane itself. Where are you guys from?
We're out of Missoula, Montana, and we got the jump base there with about 80 jumpers that we have based there in Missoula.
Now, Shane, that's kind of right in the heart of fire country right there. I imagine that's why you're there, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The beautiful country that we get to call home, that's for sure why we're there.
Okay, and Mary had said that there's different seasons for different places. So your season starts, she said, maybe in June or so, June or July.
Yeah, usually July is the kickoff of the brunt of the season. Sometimes it starts earlier. We've jumped as early as June 1st this year already. We've jumped in previous years even earlier, but that's just the way Mother Nature is. You know, you just never know until you're doing it.
Are most of you off for the rest of the year? So like from end of fire season to the beginning of the next year, you do a different job or a different career, or this is kind of your...
I'd say most of the jumpers are seasonal, and they are off during the off season, but there are pilots, myself, most of the pilot corps is all year round. We're along with the overhead with the jumper program, they are maintaining their currency throughout the year, and during the off season they're repairing a lot of their equipment, which you'll probably tell more than I can. For the pilots though, we're in off season, we're doing recurrency training. We got to go flight simulators and maintain our currency and proficiency as well.
That makes sense. So, yeah. Makes sense to do that during the off season.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So Shane, do you live in Missoula? Do most of the guys live in town, or do you have bunk rooms and facilities? How does that work?
So most the pilots do live in Missoula area, and then all the rest of the pilots at different bases, they're living in their home respective homes, towns. But the jumpers, the overhead, most of them are right there locally, and then the seasonal ones, a lot of them are living all over the place. And some of them I know will go to different countries to spend their days off and go abroad.
Okay.
their winter's off.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk to Patrick in a moment, but I would imagine same for the jumpers too, right? Move around with the season.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. There is a fair amount of work that goes on throughout the winter months as well. Summertime's kind of when we have the bulk of our, you know, that's when we're focused on firefighting, but wintertime is when we get caught up on everything. Manufacturing all the equipment that we use and maintaining all the parachute equipment that we use. That kind of stuff goes on in the wintertime as well.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, so we're in June and we're starting the season. Dispatch calls and says, what do they say? What do they tell your guys there?
Yeah, so dispatch will call the smoke jumper base. It's ops desk will get the call, and they'll say that they need a load of jumpers to go wherever. And they'll get all the information, the lat and long, and frequencies that are going to be pertinent for that mission. And then as soon as they get that all written down on our kneeboard, what we call it, for our flight, they'll sound off the bell, and within about 15 minutes we're required to be launching. And so that gives the jumpers their 15 minutes to get into their jump gear, and we're running to the plane and getting ready for starting up and
So they don't keep the gear in the plane. You keep that on a rack on the wall and just hop into it and go?
Yeah, that's correct. We have all our jump gear, as we call it, pre-positioned and ready to go. And if the buzzer goes off, we have a moment's notice to get our gear on. We're trained to be suited up in 2 minutes' time and ready to get a buddy check and then load on the aircraft and be taxiing typically within 5 to 10 minutes.
So I would imagine that what the pilots are doing while they're doing that is programming your GPS, figuring out where you're going, looking at a chart. And then there's ground resources, too. Are the ground resources typically on the way at the same time to meet up with you somehow? Or are you the only ground resource?
Well, that's kind of our primary mission, is to try and be the first resource on scene. So we focus on trying to get there fast, get a ground contact, and get a scene size up of the fire so we can start ordering what we need to help support us fight the fire.
Okay, so you're going to you get up. First thing you do is you spot the fire, right, or the smoke. And then how do you figure out where to actually drop the guys?
That's, again, the spotter who's on board is determining and working with the rest of the jumpers to determine what is the appropriate jump spot to be at.
Do they throw a smoke bomb first to see what the wind's doing? Is that the first order of business?
Well, we can see what the wind's doing from the smoke that's on the ground.
Oh, sure. You don't need to.
And then we'll take into account, you know, what kind of terrain it looks like, and then we'll try and find a suitable spot that we can safely land our parachutes and a safe distance from the fire that we're not going to get overrun by fire as soon as we get to the ground.
Okay, so perfect. So, Patrick, I guess the flying part now is you're just following the direction of the spotters and where they want you to drop these guys. As soon as they're dropped, you turn around and head right back to base. Is that right?
No. As soon as they're on the ground, they still need all their supplies. So then after they're on the ground, they give us the clearance. We'll come in and drop the cargo. We'll be dropping basically the same height as most of the retardants being dropped, about 150, 200 feet off the ground.
Are these on pallets, or how does it?
No. Because of the plane that we're flying right now, the C-23A, it's everything has to go out the side door. Same door that he just jumped out, cargo has to go out. So it has to be packaged in sizable packages that will fit through that door. And So we make multiple passes, and I have a cadence that I have to say short final, standby, kick, and the spotter will throw the cargo out, and hopefully it didn't get into a tree and it's on the ground safe and sound for them.
So it's really kind of a blessing when you get a fire scene where you have some open space, significant open space.
Yeah, that makes it a lot easier. Yeah.
Definitely.
It doesn't always
sense.
Happen that way, though.
Yeah, terrain can be brutal, especially in fire. It's usually mountainous, or you know, it can be. Okay, so let's talk so you guys are on point, and they've got you where the spotter wants you, and out the door you go, and you have already prepared or seen your landing zone, I assume. You know where you're going when you get out. You're not finding it on the way down, right?
No, and that's the spotter's job before we jump, is what we'll do is fly over, find a suitable place, and we'll throw what we call streamers. They're wind indicators. That kind of tells us what the wind's doing, and it finds our release point before we leave the plane. Once we get to the ground, we call back up to the plane, let the rest of the jumpers know what the winds on the ground are doing, and then we just kind of go through the jump ops, wait for the cargo to come in. Once we receive all our cargo and we're good to go fight the fire, we'll then clear off the plane to leave and start talking to dispatch and ordering whatever resources we need to start fighting that fire.
Okay, and now that's depending on the size of the fire, that could be an hours long project, right? Figuring all that out. Does
sure.
that take
it,
a while?
It can be, and it all depends on the size of the fire. We do end up going to a lot of really remote places that aren't near roads, hence us jumping into it. A lot of times those fires are caused by lightning. So sometimes it may just be a single tree that got struck by lightning that we're trying to snuff out real quick and come back home. If that's the case, we might not even need aircraft. We might be able to just attack the fire with hand tools, or we could just call and get a helicopter to come and put a couple of bucket drops on us for it and call it good.
All right, so while we've got a couple of minutes left, let's ask that question. How do you get home?
You know, that all depends on where we're at. We have a big bag that fits all our gear in it. We'll bundle it all up and stuff it in there and hike to the nearest location that we can get picked up. It could be by aircraft or the nearest road where a vehicle can pick us up. Occasional boat pickup ride, you name it.
So I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot.
Sure.
And that is, if somebody out there is interested in this career, what would be the best movie for them to watch that shows what it is that you do?
Oh, there was a movie made years ago called Always, which was love story on a couple of air tanker pilots. One crashes and falls in love. That kind of, I don't know.
Is that really the story of your life, Patrick?
That was not the story of my life, but that was like the first thing I ever saw that I was like, huh, okay. What's Wildfire? I didn't know about it at the time, so.
I mean, and I don't, I guess there are some smoke jumpers in that. I like that movie, actually, but is there some other resources that kids who might be or people who might be interested in this career could go to?
Yep, you can find some information. The USDA website has information on careers, how to get involved with the Forest Service or the Department of Interior. Also has firefighting crews as well. And basic startup of how to get into smoke jumping is usually you start out working on a fire engine or working on a hotshot crew, building up some firefighting experience before you get in as a smoke jumper.
Sure. All right. Well, guys, thank you very much for enlightening us on what it is you do in your world. And it's very interesting. I know to those of us who don't. And it's a lot of work. I know it's a lot of work. So.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jaymont G, we're on the fly. We're over in front of the Aerobatic Center. We're doing firefighting today. It's really cool. Very interesting. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about airplanes and pilots and all that fun stuff. Well, it is AirVenture after all. Jaymont G, you're listening to EAA Radio.